The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Tonight's the night. It's going to happen again and again. It has to happen. Nice night. Toronto is a decent city. I don't live there, but humor me. I love the food from Metro and pork dumplings from Juicy Dumpling on Bloor and Spadina. But I'm hungry for something else right now. My name is Jordan Bagramsing, and I am going to speed through this podcast tonight because I am absolutely drowning in finals and all of the other projects I have going on, but I have a commitment to Spirit Live to be made, so here we go. The year is 2007. Actually, we can go a little further back. Let's say the year is 2004. Jeff Lindsay has just had the first book in his new series published, and this book focuses on a character called Dexter Morgan. The book is, of course, called Darkly Dreaming Dexter. Then we get to 2007, where it gets picked up for a TV show, and the first season airs, becoming an absolute smash hit. The story revolves around Dexter Morgan, a blood spatter analyst at Miami Metro Homicide, not splatter, and basically he moonlights as a serial killer that only hunts other killers. The book and the show are both a huge success, and they create a huge franchise, which eventually becomes recognized as one of the worst downfalls in television and arguably book history. So the question on today's episode of Critical Blunder remains, who killed the Bay Harbor Butcher? Or what killed the Bay Harbor Butcher? Or why killed the Bay Harbor Butcher? I think I'm so funny, don't I?
It's time for Critical Blunder!
What the heck happened here?
That's disappointing.
Welcome to Critical Blunder.
Welcome back to Critical Blunder, the show where we do deep dives into some of the biggest franchises in media history and analyze exactly what made them have their downfall. Today's episode is on a topic that is especially heartbreaking for me, Dexter. The first four seasons of Dexter are honestly my favorite drama series of all time. Unfortunately, the show has a steep falloff after that, and only the seventh season, honestly, gets anywhere near close to living up to those first four. In fact, in my journey to complete Dexter from beginning to end, I experienced the worst season of television I have ever watched, season 8. In my eyes, the absolute worst thing something can be is 5 out of 10. If it's 6 out of 10 or higher, then it's at least enjoyable. If it's 4 out of 10 or lower, then it starts being so bad that it's entertaining. 5 out of 10, however, is a state of limbo where something isn't good enough to be satisfying, and it's not bad enough to be fun. And that is exactly where the 8th season of Dexter sits. I realize the way I worded that makes it sound like it's no longer considered the worst ending in television history. There are definitely some new contenders, but for me, I definitely still give it to Dexter because that ending is just a masterpiece of awful. The real reason I say until now is because there have been several reboots and spin-offs of Dexter that have come after the original ending. Most famously, 8 years after the original ending, they created a new spin-off called New Blood, which had an ending that people also did not like. But you may have seen it online. Recently, there was Dexter Resurrection, which a lot of people were raving about, and we'll definitely get into my opinions on Dexter Resurrection later on. But what are we actually here for? We're here to analyze what went wrong with Dexter, where it went from becoming the most beloved show on network television to then becoming the poster child for shows that start amazing and then get unbelievably bad. But first, I wanted to see what the masses had to say about Dexter. And so I unsuccessfully tried to find people to talk about it in street interviews. Unfortunately, most people haven't actually seen Dexter. So instead, I turned to Instagram and I asked people through the Critical Blunder Instagram, that's at criticalblunder.wave, criticalblunder.wav on Instagram. Please drop a follow if you get a chance. I asked people on Instagram what they thought about Dexter and if they could give some opinions, particularly people who have seen all of at least the original series. A lot of these messages had the same tone. I received messages from my friends Tarun, Nathan, and Ermak, and all three of them gave the same sentiment that They loved the first four seasons of Dexter, and then they started to give up around season six. I also have lots of friends in RTA who have had similar experiences. I know my friend Alum also dropped off around season six. My friend Kier dropped off around season six. And my friend Hyro started watching around season eight. Okay, he's kind of an outlier, but that's because he's 27 and he was watching the series as it aired during its final season. I digress. I soon got quite sick of people sending me the exact same replies in my DMs, just repeating the same thing about how they believe Dexter fell off in season 6. So joining me in the studio to give real, educated discussion on Dexter is a self-professed Dexter expert, Bob Krasinski. And when I say self-professed, I mean myself professed Bob to be an expert. Now that we've heard what a bunch of strangers have to say, we're back in the studio where real people get to talk. So, welcome. We're having our first special guest of the series. Please welcome Bob, a residential Dexter expert.
Hey, Jordan. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, first things first, I guess we want to, if you want to like tell us a little bit about yourself, your qualifications about Dexter.
For sure. So I grew up, I think I'm a little bit I'm 27 right now. So I kind of grew up as Dexter was still airing live. I don't know when you first started watching it, if it was on Netflix or if it was.
I actually started watching it. I started watching it last winter because I kept getting YouTube shorts about it. As Original Sin was coming, I started watching it because my dad watched it when it was airing because he was like, he was in his mid-20s when it started airing, so...
Okay.
So he started watching it a little bit when it was airing, and then he had mentioned it was a really good show. But I had always heard about, like, how badly it falls off, and I used to be so averse to shows that fell off.
Yep.
But then I started getting clips of it on YouTube, and I was like, wait. I kind of want to watch the show. I don't want to get spoiled.
Which clips were you getting on YouTube? Were you getting, like, just the Dokes clips, or, like...
I don't want to spoil too heavily for people who are watching, but there's, like, a big, big reveal at the end of season six, or a big, big moment that's been built up the entire series in season six, and I see that, I'm like, damn, that must have spoiled the entire show for me. And then I watched the show, and it definitely didn't do that for me, because so much happens. Yep. I wanted to look for people who have actually seen all of Dexter. And considering we are on the show Critical Blunder, the fall off that Dexter did have seemed to impact a lot of people because there aren't many people who have seen all of Dexter. Yep. So I have massive respect for Bob here who, like me, sat through the whole thing.
From watching it, like when it was airing, not live, but like when it was airing. So I didn't fully understand that there was a drop off in quality come season 5, season 6, and then... I think what's considered the worst? Is it season 7 is considered one of the worst?
I think the season that most people agree is the worst one. Actually, a lot of people are between season 6 and 8. I'm personally on the side where I think season 8 is the worst season of television I've ever watched.
Really? Why do you think that?
I just absolutely hated everything about it. No, I didn't like what they did with Deb's character, and she's one of my favorite characters, so I didn't enjoy that. There's certain characters who are dead by this point, so the show's like they're missing, their whole the left that they leave in the show is kind of apparent. I think the character writing was a little weak, and then they introduce Evelyn Vogel, and she's like supposed to be like the big grand villain. Because I think this might not be a popular. I'm starting to see the opinion a lot more parroted now, but as I'm watching Dexter, like at the latest season 2 onwards, I became like convinced, and I'm still convinced Harry Morgan is the villain of Dexter.
Okay.
Dexter's dad, because his whole thing is he teaches his son to be a psycho killer.
Yep.
But it's like his son witnessed, or Dexter witnessed his mother being murdered, and he starts to exhibit psychological trauma when he's like 5, and then from that moment, Harry Morgan is like, you're going to be a psychopath, son. You're going to be a psychopath, disgusting killer, and this is what we have to do to make sure that you don't go to prison. But you'll never be able to love anything. You're going to be a horrible person, but you're going to be a horrible person in a way that I like.
I guess that's fair. That is totally fair. I mean, I guess so then you'd probably fall on the side of, like, what Dexter do. Like, Dexter's kind of a villain, in a sense? Or, like,
I would fall on the side of, I guess, more anti-hero.
Okay.
Or maybe even anti-villain, because he kills bad guys because he wants to kill people, not because he wants to kill bad guys. And I think, like, as the series progresses, you can definitely see he has these strong emotional connections, and he's nowhere near the level of psychopathy that a lot of people and people in his life attach to him. He's really just, like, a traumatized person. I think it's very well representative of how antisocial personality disorder affects people in real life.
I completely agree. And I found like that was super evident to me in, if we can jump to like Resurrection, mm-hmm. like when he's introduced to the other serial killers in Resurrection. I, no offense, I hated some of the other, like Neil Patrick Harris's
oh,
character.
Oh, the characters, yeah. I 100% agree. Lowell.
I was like, this doesn't seem like this. I don't know. It felt just kind of like completely contradictory to sort of like
the way they portray sociopaths in general before.
Yeah, yeah.
I do actually agree. I didn't even think about that. But now you bring it up, the way they portray a lot of the serial killers in Resurrection, I think it's very different to how they portray all of these people in the original run of the show, which even in the later seasons from 5 to 6, we get a lot more development, I guess, to the characters, and they all feel more human than the killers we see in. For anyone who hasn't seen Resurrection, basically the plot that we've been discussing is essentially that Dexter kills a serial killer and finds in his bag an invitation to like a serial killer party. And at this party, he meets a bunch of other killers and he's like, lunch.
Yeah. But and he also like is kind of conflicted because mm-hmm. there are people like him that he can kind of be with, but I don't know. He's
be open with, right? Yep. About his killing. And then, but the thing is, I think that's one of the weaker points of the original series, where after season 4, we already went through the plot. In season 3, it focuses around Dexter opening up with Miguel Prado, who's the DA or the assistant DA. Mm-hmm. And he kind of finds out that Dexter is a killer. He respects him for it. Miguel respects Dexter for it and thinks that he's kind of doing the right thing. So we go through that whole plot line of him like opening up about his serial killerness and letting other people in, and it backfires in a huge way. And then he doesn't learn from his mistakes when we come into like season 5, even though it doesn't negatively impact him in season 5 when he works with Lumen. And then there's also in season 6, he tries to work with another killer to take down a bigger killer, backfires. Season 7, I don't think he actually does that in season 7. You can argue towards the end he's working with Isaac Serco, the main villain of the season, to fight back against the people who are trying to kill both of them. But they're not, that's like a...
Yeah, I wouldn't call that like a serial killer kind of thing.
Yeah, they're not trying to team up. And then season 8 comes around and exact same thing. Vogel comes in and he's trying to team up. Yep. So I guess we could say that in terms of what one of the biggest issues from Dexter in its fall off is when we look at the writing, it's so cyclical. It just repeats itself every season after season 4.
Yeah, I think it's tough to top season 4. Season 4 was actually the first season I saw of Dexter. Which was like, that just blew my mind. Like,
incredible.
I think it's considered probably the best season of Dexter. With
definitely.
And with, I'd completely agree. And then, yeah, I do think it starts getting a little cyclical up until, like, I don't know. I still watch, like, I think his performances are the only thing that really kept me going through seasons.
It's
like,
the fact that I think Michael C. Hall, I probably call him my favorite actor.
He's definitely up there.
Incredible. Before I even saw Dexter, I saw him in 6 Feet Under.
Okay.
It's supposed to have, like, the best finale of all time.
Okay.
It is funny that Michael C. Hall stars in both what is considered the best finale of all time and the worst finale of all time. Because the Dexter finale is almost universally hated. I don't think I've met a single person who's seen the Dexter finale and enjoyed it.
Yeah, like of the original series?
Of the original series.
I mean, do you think... Part of me thinks, like... the new blood ending. Mm-hmm. I think people hated that one.
People did hate the new blood. I wasn't a fan, but I think it helped that by the time I had seen New Blood, I knew that Resurrection was coming. Because I think the big reason everyone hated New Blood's ending so much. So just spoiler alert: the ending of New Blood is a fake out death for Dexter. He gets shot, and then he's supposed to have actually died. Just as a insights as a scoop, because now that happened 3-4 years ago now, and that's been retconned. The original ending of New Blood was for Dexter to have died, and that was for a few years. That was how the Dexter series ended, so everyone hated that.
That's what I believed for, like, the entire three. I actually loved New Blood up until, like, I'd stop watching around, like, the second last episode because I'm like, I know what's going to happen, and, like, I think I hated the New Blood ending more than the original series ending, if that's possible.
100%. I actually strongly agree with that because... I thought it was really underwhelming, but like if I'm looking back at it, for one, I mean, I knew what to expect. My whole life, the thing I'd heard the most about Dexter was that its ending was horrible. So I was prepared for it, but also the buildup of a really bad season of television already in season 8 leading up to that really even worse finale, it stung a lot less than New Blood, which was really good up until those last couple episodes.
Yep.
Even last episodes were decent, but the fact is you knew what it was building up to.
Yep.
And it's like, and you don't, I don't like the direction it was going.
Yeah, no, I'd completely agree with that. I thought like the vibe of New Blood, I think, was back to what the original first 4 seasons of Dexter were. Like, I think he was kind of more of a loner, sort of like complete hidden identity. Like, no one really knew who he was. And it's like, the whole season is kind of about that unraveling.
Where would you personally say, like, where do you think the fall off begins in Dexter?
For me, it actually might be a little different than, I actually kind of liked season 5 with Lumen and, like, Jordan Chase. Although I was, the first time I saw it, I was probably too young to even appreciate what a fall off was necessarily.
Yeah.
I think where it started falling off for me was actually with, like, Isaac Serco and, like,
really,
yeah, that's to me where I was kind of like, all right, maybe I'm getting like a little too much of Dexter. I don't know if it was because they just kept coming out like every season with a similar thing and like the novelty of it sort of wore off. Looking back on it later, I like that season more after watching it on Netflix and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, it fell off a little bit for me there. And then season 8 was not a slog, but it was like, it was tough to get through.
For me, it was so difficult to get through. I was dreading finishing it, but I knew I had to watch New Blood. I actually ended up, I watched most of New Blood during a lecture.
Oh, yeah.
Not to tattle on myself, but if I had to do one of them over, I would do over that lecture. If I had to go through that lecture or season 8 of Dexter again, I would go through that lecture again. Because at least with that lecture, there was a sense of camaraderie with everyone who was going through the same thing. The amount of times, like, Tiago, you can could attest to this, the amount of times I walk out of this lecture, I just look you in the eyes and be like,
yeah,
and I'm like, oh my god, like, just get me out of here.
I was stationed in the back, I was playing games. Yeah. I beat a whole Fire Emblem game in the spam of that lecture right there.
Oh my gosh,
good lord, fellas, good lord. Oh.
It was an interesting lecture.
It wasn't that bad.
Well, it got good. It got
there
good.
Were some good classes.
There were some really good lectures.
There were moments.
There were some really good lectures in the class, and then there was the first half of the semester.
That's fair.
Which is kind of similar to Dexter. Because the way I see it, I personally find the fall off to have been in season 5. I actually hated season 5.
Really? Why do you think you hated season 5?
I really liked the concept of the season. That being said, the ending of season 4 leads into an amazing first episode of season 5, and then they don't capitalize off of how good that ending, that season 5 premiere was.
That's fair.
Because they use the season 5 premiere to wrap up what was happening in season 4, and then they introduce a whole new plot and barely touch on what happened in season 4. Multiple main characters are written off, there's been no acknowledgement of them for most of the, like, everything after season 5, basically. Yeah. I think a lot of the stuff that happened in season 6, 7, and 8 could have 6, 7. We did this last time too. I think a lot of the things that happened in season 6 through 8 could have been compacted and put into the storyline of season 5, and that should have been the end of the series. Because honestly, I don't like how long we go. It just feels like there's all the characters that die and are missing from the show. They die throughout the first 4 seasons. The longer the show goes on, the more you start to feel their loss, and it just kind of weighs down the show because you try and bring in people to replace them.
That's a good point.
It's just, I don't appreciate it.
And then sometimes they kill off those people. I guess I wonder how much of it is like, yeah, I would have liked to see Dexter end after season 4, but even after like New Blood, I was like, part of the reason I didn't like it was because I wanted more Dexter. Like, I wanted to see, I wanted to see just more. I don't know if there's a place for that or if there's like.
So that's something where I think let's talk about the original, like all the reboots and stuff. Now I do agree. Now that we have gotten past that point, I do want to see more Dexter, and I definitely would like to see. I don't see Dexter ending. I don't want to see an ending to this character anytime soon, but I do think the character would have fared better with its original run. I think it would have fared better if it had ended a lot earlier. Now that it hasn't ended, I think there's no point in it. Just keep go as long as we possibly can until the quality starts getting impacted again. Put it down. Take it out back. Take it out back with a shotgun. Put it down. Yeah. Normally we go into a segment called the Elimination Game. I do want to take your input into that. If there's one thing out of all the things we discussed about like things that may have negatively affected Dexter, what would you say is the most important or the most detrimental thing that happened throughout the entire run of Dexter?
I'd say, like, I think it's probably true for a lot of shows. Probably Clyde Phillips leaving the show at the end of season 4. Like, I just think that, like, it's tough to pick anything up from where someone left off, especially if they had a vision for it from season 1. I'd say that's probably the most important thing.
All right, cool. So thank you for coming on to the second episode of Critical Blunder. Thank you for being the first special guest on the show. So next, we'll move on to the Elimination Game.
As we get into the elimination game, it's going to be done a little differently this time as we try and kind of find our rhythm as a podcast. So, the way we're going to be doing this is by going through each point and breaking them down briefly before we decide which one is the true critical blunder. Additionally, we'll be going in order of least to most destructive, meaning that the last point we introduce is going to be the critical blunder. So, let's get started. First things first, we have to eliminate the idea of cyclical writing being the biggest detriment. The story starts to repeat itself with new characters chasing Dexter each season, and it all gets very repetitive. However, that same thing is true with a lot of the earlier seasons, which were all very well executed and very well received. The plotline generally just revolves around Dexter finding a new villain to hunt down, and at the same time, he's being watched by someone else. That only really starts to feel like an issue in the later seasons when other issues like character writing and a lack of originality with new characters being introduced start to take center stage. The next blunder we have to eliminate is the idea that loose ends are what bog down the show. There are a lot of loose ends from earlier in the series that don't get answered in the later half, and they're not even answered in the new seasons today. That being said, the general audience still doesn't really care that much about those loose ends if they're tuning in now. I definitely personally don't like how many loose ends are left open, but I don't think they're what drag down the show, because even though those loose ends aren't being answered in the new seasons are still prospering. The next blunder we have to eliminate is the idea that the show going on for too long is what's bogging it down. Just like Bob said, he just wants more Dexter, and I'm in that ballpark too. Most people want more Dexter. And so the fact that the show has gone on for too long, I don't think that is necessarily the issue. Just like we said, the problem is that the consequences of Dexter's actions don't catch up to him quickly enough. This blunder amplifies the other issues like loose ends, because the longer the show goes on without tying up these loose ends, the worse those things are. But none of these blunders truly compare to the real critical blunder of Dexter: letting Clyde Phillips leave the show. Bob briefly mentioned this, but Clyde Phillips was the showrunner of Dexter. He wrote the first four seasons that are universally praised. However, he left after season four because he wanted to spend more time with his family, which is completely understandable. But because of his departure, he took his vision with him and he left it in the hands of Scott Gimple, who failed to execute that vision. Showtime, the studio behind Dexter, just wanted more seasons, so they dragged out all of Clyde Phillips' ideas across eight full seasons, and the new writers failed to work off of the original plot lines that made the show successful. This resulted in a huge vibe shift after his departure, which got rid of a lot of the novella-style, dreamy atmosphere that we get in the original seasons of Dexter. The changes in writers just completely throw off Dexter as a character and a series, because there's just a fundamental misunderstanding of why people love the character and the show so much. But with every blunder, there is hopefully a path to recovery, and that has proven to be true with Dexter. In recent years, spin-offs like Original Sin and Resurrection have been immensely popular, and the biggest key aspect of that is that Clyde Phillips has returned to direct these series. With Phillips back at the helm, these series have started to feel more like the original Dexter seasons and reminding people why they fell in love with the show in the first place. I think that if the Dexter franchise ever wants to truly prosper, it needs to go back and tie up those loose ends from the original seasons, which are the last remaining weights tying it down. Those characters I mentioned that got written out of the show and never showed up again after season 5, they need to have a huge comeback without spoiling who they are, because I don't want to give that away. And with Resurrection reintroducing some of the other characters who had been neglected in other spin-offs, I have full faith that in the next years we will be seeing an absolute Dexter renaissance. With that in mind, this has been the second episode of Critical Blunder, Crunch Week Edition. If you liked this episode, please let us know. If you hated this episode, let us know what our critical blunder was. See you all in 2 weeks when we talk about Harry Potter. P.S. We're going to have more Tiago next week as well. Hey everyone, one more thing. I've just come back from a long day of filming all day in the snow, and my feet are cold and wet, but I do want to give just another thank you to everyone who's here, and if you do have any ideas for future episodes of Critical Blunder, any series you thought was like once at the top of its game and you'd like to see an episode talking about how it reached its downfall, we openly encourage it, and you can find us at, again, criticalblunder.wav on Instagram. That's WAV, like the file format. See you in 2 weeks.